Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Oscar Malik. How are you, Oscar?
I'm very well, Chris. How are you?
I'm brilliant, actually. Had a nice lunch. Thank you very much for the lunch. Should do this more often. We're down in Chilton Glen, which is quite a fancy hotel. And where are we? Is it not quite Devon?
It's actually the Dorset Hampshire border. So we're in the New Forest, or at least on the edge of the New Forest, and we literally straddle that border between Dorset and Hampshire.
Perfect. And you're the beverage manager here.
That's right.
What I want to do is we're going to do a couple of interviews. So the first one, I want to just start to do a bit of a profile on people in the wine trade, really, because we talk to a lot of winemakers and a lot of academics and all sorts of strange people, but I hardly ever talk to the people at the coalface. So I want to talk a wee bit about that. And then maybe next week we'll have a bit of a chat about Chilton Glen and some of the logistic issues and things associated with running such a big list, because you've got a big list here, a big list of wines.
Yep, so it's 1,200 bins at the moment. So that's individual labels, individual vintages. So, yeah, it's quite a lot to manage. Yep. About 10,000 bottles in the cellar at the moment.
Yeah. We had a wee look around your cellar as well. Some nice kit there, so we might even talk about some of the kit you like.
Yeah.
But let's just find out about yourself, because you're actually quite young. You know, you're a beverage manager, and how old are you?
22 at the moment.
22, which
nearly
is
23.
Yeah, that's pretty young. When did you start getting into the industry? When was your first proper wine-related role?
So, I suppose the interest really started when I got my very first job in a restaurant, which is a meagre little part-time job as a waiter at the age of 17. I'd just come back from living in France for 6 years, so I suppose that must have kick-started it to some extent. I lived in the Charente-Maritime region where cognac is made and Pinot de Charente is made. So vines everywhere, not necessarily for the purpose of making wine.
Yeah, Uni Blanc doesn't make the best stuff.
Not necessarily the best wine. Uni Blanc Colombard is about as good as they get, but they try. And so then came back to the UK, got my first wee job, and I'd like to say that the rest is history, really. It was a lot of sleepless nights under the duvet with a wine book and a torch, a lot of listening to your show, Chris.
Hey.
as you do. I've been listening to that for about 5 years. And yeah, just a lot of hardcore study and sort of in and out of various different roles, you know, sort of working as a waiter, a lot of cocktail bartending, and then finally ended up here the first time round as a sommelier.
Okay, so you haven't done that much academic work, though. You've done your WSET level 2.
Yeah, completed that. I did my level 3 course in its entirety and still haven't got round quite to taking the exam.
When was that?
So I did my course 2 years ago before I went off to Scotland and missed the exam date, sadly, but did that up at London Bridge at the WSET headquarters.
Yep. Okay, so you've probably got a good the knowledge there, but maybe just not the academic qualification.
I think so, but that hasn't stopped me so far, not yet.
Yeah. Okay. And so you came to Chilton Glen. Had you been a sommelier before?
Not before I came here the first time. So I'd been hardcore cocktail bartending up in Birmingham, but had taken a real interest in wine. But I wasn't that well versed, certainly not in service. So I came to Chilton Glen the first time, worked here for a year under the reign of Alan Holmes, who was my predecessor. So Alan now works up at the vineyard at Stockcross. Amazing sommelier. Everyone wanted to work for Alan, certainly back then and even now. And so I just spent a whole year studying, learning the ins and outs of working in a restaurant. And then, of course, the itchy feet came on. I started to want my next role, which really was going to have to be my own wine list. I wanted my first head sommelier position. So then I got offered a job up at a restaurant called the Three Chimneys on the Isle of Skye in Scotland. So middle of nowhere, but an amazing reputation. So they're always up at the top of the hardened list. So usually sort of in the 20s there, three rosettes. Frank Bruni of the New York Times put them up in the top 5 places to eat in the world. So that was an amazing opportunity. So
a lot of whiskey there.
Plenty of whiskey. Yeah. maybe a little bit too much whiskey some nights.
Yeah.
And a decent wine list. You know, we'd fluctuate between about 200 and 300 wines. So not as big as here, but it was a great starter for me to begin to manage, a cellar and a wine list and make sure that staff are trained adequately and guests are seeing the wines that they want on the list. And then finally, it was time to make my way back down to the UK and to England, and the hotel gave me a call to see if I wanted to take the head sommelier position here.
Okay, so you came back here, now then head sommelier.
Yeah,
That was what, for about a year.
Yeah, so I've done a year as head sommelier, and I've just taken on the role of beverage manager, encompassing the bar and lounge as well.
Well, that's quite good, though. That's nice, steady progress at quite a rapid rate, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. I think some might argue that I'm a little bit too young maybe to be in the position that I'm in, but I think to say I take it seriously would be a bit of an understatement. I literally live and breathe food and wine, and all of my resources go on to dining out, spend my life with a completely empty wallet, but a pretty full stomach. it's weaning information from the businesses around us. So going out and almost, you could almost call it spying on other restaurants and hoteliers and seeing how they're doing things. So I do quite a lot of that.
Why do you think you've got such a passion for sort of service and wine and food and all that sort of thing?
It's quite hard to pinpoint a robust reason for it. As I said, living in France and living with a culture of food and wine that's very inherent, I think will have helped. My uncle, my dad's brother, is very into his food and wine, and he and his wife were a big, you know, played a big part in starting me up, but just through conversing about the intricacies, really, because Jan's a chemical engineer, and the way he talks about food and wine is from a very very scientific perspective, and I latched onto that quite early, I think, because I love that. I think if something's going to taste the way that it does, there must be a reason for it. And now I realize there's a lot of sort of voodoo holistic reasons given for why wine tastes like it does, but actually when you break wine down into exactly what it is, you can feel exactly why it tastes the way it does. So I think I loved that from day one, and as it happens, I thought I might tie that into working in a restaurant, and lo and behold, I enjoyed working in the restaurant as well. So not only did I have that natural enthusiasm for the product, I enjoyed serving it as well. So the natural career progression became apparent quite early.
In the wine world, there's a lot of people in the service industry, and service is one of those things that some people have a knack for and some people just don't. You know, I think I would struggle in the service industry because I'm probably a bit arrogant and a bit aggro and a bit narky. I get a bit upset sometimes when things don't quite go the way I want. You must have done a bit of hiring now for sommeliers.
Yeah.
What sort of things are you looking for, both in terms of skills, but in terms of personality as well?
Well, I think, because you mentioned skills and personality, I think the latter is more important, really. I think if you start with someone who's got a really good attitude, a willingness to learn, and a natural desire to do right by people, whether it be guests, whether it be their colleagues, then I think you're off to a good start. I mean, you can teach anyone skills, really. Knowledge about wine naturally is really important if you are a sommelier, and people expect that. But actually, you're fighting more of an uphill battle if you do employ someone who loves themselves a bit too much, which sommeliers and bartenders and waiters, they can do. You know, there's a lot of ego
the odd
knocking
person
around.
Yeah.
Which can be quite challenging. For me, what you mentioned about maybe your own personality getting in the way. I mean, I think you have to be everything to everybody at all times makes the ideal hospitality worker, and sort of I call it hospitality worker because we're providing warmth and hospitality, and it's about making people feel welcome, making people feel at home, and there's a bit of acting involved. You know, I'd be lying if I said I acted in exactly the same way to one guest as I would to another, because you can tell quite quickly what it is they're expecting. So I think someone who can read people is also quite an important trait in someone that we might be looking to employ, on top of, you know, sort of natural, you know, personality, and of course the skill set, because, you know, within the skill set, you've got your theory, you've got your capability to serve a table physically. And those are both very important. But as I said, that the sort of the personality, attitude and energy, I think is more important.
What's your favorite element? Now you're a food beverage beverage manager now. Yeah, you're a beverage manager now. So you've done the head sommelier job. You've done a sommelier job. What are the sort of moments in your career that you've just, you know, made you shine, made you happy as a person?
Well, I think the team that I've got at the moment make me feel particularly proud. And it's those times when you'll get to the end of a Saturday night service and you start to get guests coming to you to mention specifically, members of your team who've wowed them, I think is the most magical part of it. I'm really happy with the position that I'm in, but, you know, I find it fairly easy to see past that bit of ambition and see what it is I'm providing for my boys, because
and girls.
Yeah. I'm constantly saying boys at the moment, because this is the first time that we've had an all male sommelier team. Usually we have a couple of young lasses knocking around, but not at the moment. Not being too sexist. Okay. Bar and lounge teams are a different matter. But they're a great team as well. If a guest are coming out of the restaurant having had a great, experience, whether it be food, wine, but mainly wine and drink, you know, is my remit, then I know that at least we're providing the right tools to the team to give that wow factor. You know, they've been trained enough on the products that they're selling. They like selling the products. And we've given them the time to spend with their guests. So if they're not rushed off their feet, then they get to sort of induce that little bit of love into the table. I think the proudest moment of my career, I think, really was to come back as head sommelier, because I never thought it would happen. I think that was the moment where I was most exhilarated and most daunted as well. It was properly stressful time, because, you know, moving into a position that, had never really done before, managing a list of this size, and for the first time managing a sommelier team as well, who are all older and, you could argue, you know, more experienced than I am as well. So it wasn't easy.
Why do you think they chose you as opposed to one from the team that was already there? Because you were a different part of the country, you'd worked there, but and then you're coming back. So that obviously can create some interesting dynamics with the team, if they felt they should have been made head sommelier, or...
Perhaps. I don't think we saw an issue with that at the time. I think certainly with the team that was in place at that moment, I think if we'd all sat down, with pen and paper and a wine theory test, then I would have probably come out the other end better off. That's, you know, no disrespect to anyone, but that's just how much I've worked, you know, to get my theory down, get my tasting down, and the rest of it. But also, I think they saw... they probably saw an opportunity for someone to come in with fresh eyes and energy and sort of revitalize the list, as it were, start pushing things forward. Because, you know, they knew I was a little bit greedy, a little bit ambitious, and, you know, a little bit egotistical in a way. So they knew that they could ride on that and mean that I would come in and go, right, let's make this something to look at, this wine list, you know. And it's not just about making it bigger, but the little intricacies, like the amazing range of Austrian wines we have, the large selection of dessert wines. People love our half bottle selection. We have more wines by the glass than ever. Full range of ports and Madeiras by the glass. And then, of course, our English and Welsh wine collection. So we have the largest selection of English and Welsh wines that can be had in any restaurant in the land. So that was just breathing a little bit of, you know, some unique qualities into the list. And I think that's what they saw that I might run away and do, which I did.
What's next then? You obviously just got into your role, so you're not probably looking too far into the future in terms of moving, but for a service-orientated person, beverage manager, you start to sort of peek out there, don't you? That your next step up is sort of middle management or food and beverage manager, perhaps. So Do you feel like you're starting to run out of career options? You maybe have come through too quickly.
Perhaps. I'm in no rush for my next position. I mean, you said it really, beverage manager in theory then becomes food and beverage manager should the opportunity ever arise for me at another hotel. I know for a fact I'd have to do a lot of work on my food skills. I mean, still a lot of work on my wine and drink skills, but I've always worked more with the wine and the beverage than I have with the food. So that'll take a lot of work, but I'm not worried because, you know, being 22, I can probably afford to take it easy for a couple of years before chasing my next job. I think looking years down the line, what I would love would be sort of almost a wine buyer position, but for the on-trade. So perhaps for a group of hotels or a group of restaurants, so that you start to almost take a step back from day-to-day service and more get involved with the training and the conceptual work. So the design of the menus, the ordering of the wine for multiple properties. I think that would be the way forward eventually. And that's hopefully where I'll go.
Okay. So as someone who's sort of been a sommelier, head sommelier now, and we've talked about your career path, how would people typically get into the role of a sommelier? Would they start at the door letting people in or as a doorman and work their way up? Or do you hire directly from high schools, universities? Or, you know, how does it all sort of work?
It's definitely different for each individual. And I say that because you might find a sommelier comes, as you said, straight out of a catering college. You know, someone might do 2 or 3 years, you know, through those motions. So they'll do front of house, back of house, tuition. They'll do a placement year. And then they might get interested in wine, you know, during that time. They might meet some sommeliers and their tutor might recommend that path, at which point, you know, a hotel like ours might see an opportunity, you know, to train someone like this up. So we bring them in as what we call a commis sommelier, so your baseline sommelier, which is essentially a wine waiter, someone who gets involved in the service, the decanting, and then very, very slowly as they grow more confident in their theory, their knowledge, and the wine list, they can start to make the recommendations, start to converse more about the product. What we find is quite a lot of people who start off as a waiter or are a bartender, they might get, you know, more interested in wine. And there is something, I think, romantic about being a sommelier, and about also comforting about dealing only with wine. Now, I know naturally here we have to get involved with all sorts. If a guest wants their coat hanging up, if we have to fillet a Dover sole, if we have to make a cocktail, if we have to open the door, then we'll do it. But essentially, we're employed here to serve wine, and that's what we do. We live and breathe it. We love it. So I think there's something attractive to tradespeople, you know, to do that, really. I don't think anyone goes through, you know, sort of secondary school thinking, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to be a sommelier. I think that's one of those funny ones, really. I think you have to have at least reached the age to really be consuming and buying alcohol, really, to know enough about it to think, oh, you know what, I could do that job. I would say most sommeliers start off in the industry anyway, so work in hotels, but I'd say more food and beverage. So if you start off as a waiter, as a bartender, as a host, then you might see an opportunity to go on to be a sommelier. How you do that depends on the individual. I mean, you might do, you know, a WSET course or two with a company like yourselves or WSET Global. You might do the first level of quartermaster sommeliers to get you on the rung there. Or you might be very lucky like myself and just land a job in the first instance with, you know, a really revered and very experienced head sommelier who can walk and talk and babysit you through the motions, like I did for a year with Alan. And then to come out the other end of it with enough tools to then run. So you've got enough of a basic knowledge to then just accumulate more and more and more. So the more tastings you go to, the more people you meet, the more books you read. If you've got that baseline information, then there's more chance you're going to wean more from what you see and hear later on.
What do you look for? Well, where do you guys recruit? Do you look for people just sending you applications, CVs? Not that I want to encourage too many people to send you a CV. You might get inundated, but Do you look in-house first, see if someone's got an interest? Do you look externally? Do you go to recruitment? How do you source?
I think it's a really healthy mixture of all of the ones you've just mentioned. And just to elaborate, for example, I'm recruiting for a commis sommelier at the moment, not for anyone in the bar and lounge team, but we have got a wine-specific position going. So you're always going to get the folk who email on the off chance, but not that many. We do use recruitment agencies, but naturally there's a fee involved. So if we can recruit ourselves or if we can do it in-house, then great. I think it's always nice to bring people from the outside because it's new blood, it's, you know, a fresh opinion. But equally, if someone within sort of the restaurant or bar team, you know, really wanted to go the next step with their wine knowledge, then they'd be eligible to take the position as well. Thankfully, you know, I'm quite well connected online via LinkedIn and then dealing with so many suppliers. So over 30 different wine suppliers and drink suppliers. I will always send them an email out just to let them know as well, because the chances are they're talking to no end of people at trade fairs, etc. We've had WSET approach us before about, you know, advertising for sommelier positions on their website. So things like that. I think we aim to attack the, you know, sort of the wine trade first, and then if we need to use a recruitment agency, then we will.
All right then, Oscar. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.